Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. Glad you're all here. Glad you had plenty to eat. And today we're going to cover something that perhaps affects every single one of us in the room. Regardless of our age, regardless of whether we're man or woman. And it has to do with how do you recover from traumatic events that are still lodged in your mind. Now let's come here to Luke 4 and let's see one of the, not one, but the purposes of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because there are experiences that we all go through that may be very devastating and long-lasting. What do you do with those? Have you ever gone along and all of a sudden a bad memory comes back on you? Okay. And unfortunately for people who have really been abused or hurt, it doesn't come back on you. It hardly ever goes away. And it can affect everything in your life. From the way you think to your health, to how you view the world, how you view other people. And so this is what Jesus was talking about here in Luke, the fourth chapter and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was given him the book of Isaiah the prophet, and when he unrolled the scroll, he found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So what we are talking about is something that can only be done with the Spirit of God. Not only the preaching, but what he's talking about that has to, which he talks about right afterwards. "For this reason, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted." So there is a brokenhearted or broken-spirited healing that has to take place with us. "To proclaim pardon to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind," that's both physical and spiritual, "to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed." Now those who have been crushed are those who have suffered terrible traumatic things and also along with physical things. Now we're going to talk about some things here that are important for us to understand. All right? This was given as a prophecy in Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah 61. And let's see what else it says back here in Isaiah 61. Because it goes on a little bit further. And I would have to say that it is my observation within the churches of God that because too many human ways were used to control the church, that they ended up destroying people's lives. Now that can happen within a family, can happen within a church, can happen within groups of churches. When I say church, I mean a congregation. It can happen in society, it can happen in your work, it can happen in your family, it could happen between you and another friend, at a young age or an older age. And these experiences lodge in our brains. Now, by the same mechanism we remember, they've also discovered that the brain can forget. So we're going to talk about how then, how do we handle those emotional, spiritual, and mental things that are in our minds that we must deal with. Now, we can't go along and say, "Oh, I shouldn't think of that." Boop. No. It'll come back again on you. See? It is true you shouldn't think about it, but the question is, how do you get rid of it or erase it? See, that's the question. Okay? So, Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Now, the heart is the seat of all your emotions, and your mind is the memory. To proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Have you ever watched any of these specials on those who are in prison? How many have? Okay, do that. You can see it on Nat Geo, and you can see it on CNBC. And you can see it with prisoners who, all the way from misdemeanors to hard-hearted criminals. And the only thing you can say is, it's a pitiful situation. You know, this world is in just terrible shape. People are in terrible, terrible, terrible shape. And when we come out of the world, we have to have all of that taken care of in time within the church and with our conversion. Well, let's read on. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, that's yet to come, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint to those who mourn in Zion, giving to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What happens when you have a big problem? You're weighted down emotionally. You're heavy. You haven't gained any weight, but your mind feels like it weighs 50 pounds. So that they might be called trees of righteousness. Conversion, see? The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So that's the whole purpose, see? And this is the key that we need to look at. All right, let's ask some questions. How did we get in some of these problems anyway? We can look back at our childhood and growing up. Let's go to Matthew 24, please. We can look at our childhood growing up, and there are many first-time experiences, including sexual encounters, that you can probably still remember to this very day. Now, the key on all of those things is this. You don't want the emotion to be carried forward with the memory. And you want to diminish the memory to a very little part of your mind. But here's how it starts out, because children growing up, look at how many kids want to go to Disneyland. Oh, yeah, let's go to Disneyland. Oh, yes, we're going to have fun there. And the parents go, they're totally unaware they're being led into witchcraft. Because it's fun. Everybody's having a good time. But what does that set the stage for? Okay. Now, verse 10. And then many shall be led into sin. I want to focus on that phrase. Because if you're never taught the truth and you don't know what is right, it's easy to get led into sin. And it's easy to come to accept sin as something that you live with. Now, I can't help but think of those poor girls who have been kidnapped and kept in prison someplace for years and years and years and sexually abused. Now, the question is, how can that kind of memory be mitigated? What do we do? How can we help them? And essentially is what we're going to see, we can help to a certain point, but they have got to come to where they have to tackle the problem head on themselves, regardless of their age. Now, when they're younger, parents can help them do it. When they're older, especially if you're alone and neglected and abused and put aside, lots of times people just become sort of wasted human life going through the motions of living. No purpose, no understanding. No relief, not knowing what to do. So people get led into sin. They get led into the sin of sex and of drugs, gangs. Of course, that's one of the first things that Proverbs talks about. Don't get into gangs. You get led into wrong religion. You get led into many different things, don't you? Then you also have things come along in a way of accidents. How many here have been in a traumatic accident? Okay? All right. How many have suffered from violence? How about incest? How about rape? How about robbery? And today, you know, we are so, in watching television, our emotions are callous because we see these things as almost everyday occurrences on television, right? Yes. And our children play with digital games. We're killing. Just comes naturally. We're snuffing out a life. Is a game. So they lose the feeling, they lose the emotion toward other people. And so all of these things come along. Then you can talk about, how about marriages? You can have good and bad and ugly marriages, abusive marriages. You can have that. Can be husband abuse or wife abuse. Then you have the problems of divorce and remarriage. Have the problems of war. How many here have been in war, shooting war? Okay, 1, 2, 3, okay. All right. Those things you don't forget. All right, then it edges into other things. It edges in to demon influence. Now, demon influence is not demon possession. Now, we'll talk about that too. All right. Let's understand something concerning all of these things. We'll go to several scriptures. Let's first of all go to Psalm 103. Hold your place in Matthew because we're going to come back. Psalm 103. Now here's a psalm we all need to be aware of. Psalm 103. All right. Now, the first four verses become the focus of what we need to look to. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's the beginning of changing these things right there. And as we're going to see, it is your personal relationship with God. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, that's very interesting the way it is. He doesn't say who heals all your diseases and all your forgives your iniquities, because you have to have your sins forgiven first. Now, we are going to see that what we have in our minds with these things that emotionally bother us may have been instituted by someone else rather than you. But nevertheless, it is still sin. A lot of the things that are sin are things that we see. And what did Jesus say about lust and adultery? How about music? How about rock stars? How about athletics? All of those are things you see and you do. Okay? Heals all your diseases. So having forgiveness of sin first and then being healed comes second. So if you want these things in your mind healed, then you need to repent of the sins that caused them, even though you may have been led away by someone else. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now let's look at God's promise here in the New Testament, Matthew 12. And we will find out that yes, Jesus is there. You can confess your sins to him. Confess them to the Father, and you will be forgiven. And then we will see what you need to do. Verse 31, Matthew 12. Because of this, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that shall not be forgiven to men, because that is rejecting the Spirit of God from the Father, with malice, with forethought, with vindictiveness, with hatefulness, with no repentance. So when someone is worried that they've committed the unpardonable sin, the very worry tells you, you haven't. Because those who commit the unpardonable sin won't worry about it. See? Now notice, verse 32. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, whether in a religious setting or whether in swearing and cursing, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age nor in the coming age. All right? The next verse tells us something very, very, very important. It shows there's part that God has to do. He's the one who's going to forgive. But then we have the part we need to do. Because in forgiving sin for sickness, Jesus said what? Go and sin no more. So Jesus continues here. Verse 33. Either make the tree good. That means we've got things in our lives to take care of. And the fruit good, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. See, there's no middle ground. For a tree is known by his fruit. So there are things we're going to have to do. Okay? Now let's come over here to verse 43. Let's see, there are things that come upon us that we may or may not have any responsibility for. It may have been the responsibility of the family. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is departed from a man. Now, a lot of these things are influenced by Satan, the devil. We'll see that in just a minute. Some of it is by demon possession. Remember, Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. Okay? It goes through dry places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came out. And after coming, he finds it unoccupied, swept, and set in order. That shows nothing was done to build and protect. Nothing was done to establish a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So it says, then it goes and takes with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Then he says, likewise shall it be with this wicked generation. And isn't that what's happening in this world today? Look at how much more demonic and occult are the movies, the music, the sports. Look at all the basketball players, occult tattoos all over them. And they know that they have this done so that that spirit of this artwork will be with them to make them bigger, better, stronger, and faster. All into Satanism. And I don't think we realize how much the young people and us as adults have been subjected to those kinds of influences. Come here to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Here's something we also need to be aware of, to repent of, and also to avoid. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Well, let me just say something here. It's very important to understand. Okay? Especially viewed from children within the church. You see your parents wanting to grow and change and overcome. Okay? And perhaps you may view it from the point of view, oh, they're getting so religious. You know, they're really not, you know, hep with it, if I could put it that way. See, let me tell you something. Do you think that there is ever, ever a time that you can overdo your relationship with God? No. But you can take the word of God by the letter of the law and use it as a club against your family and children. And God doesn't want that because that's not based on love. So the more that you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, the more that you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about and put these things out of your lives. Okay? Now, I remember dealing in a situation with a woman who was in the grips of the spirit of fear, spirit of torment. And in praying for her, I asked God to cast out the spirit of fear, and we'll see the source where that comes, the spirit of torment, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of resentment and hatred. All of that does not come from God. Here's where it comes from. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world." Just part of the world. Let me tell you something today. There is a great division between the truth of God and the way the world lives, more than ever before, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now that's Satan the devil. And he can put thoughts into the minds of people. He can lead great athletes. He can lead great musicians, politicians, whatever it may be. The spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Okay, now if you live a life wanting to go against God, you're a child of disobedience, see? Now remember, all sins will be forgiven men. These things can be forgiven. But if we're not aware of them and we don't act upon them and we don't repent of them, then those things can take us down sometimes the rest of our lives. And we ought not let that happen. But notice what Paul says. Notice, he includes himself in this. "Among whom also we all had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, even as the rest of the world. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive through Christ, for you have been saved by grace." So this is where we need to come, brethren. Now, have you ever had a bundle of wire? Have you seen how they, you know, some ranchers take baling wire, they open the bales of hay and they take the wire and they wrap it and they wrap it and they wrap it. And pretty soon you get a big, big bundle of wire. Well, you take a strand of that out of there, then compare it with the wire before it was put on the bale, and then ask the question, can you make this wire as straight as it originally was? The answer is, not by human effort. But if we liken that to our lives, yes, by the Spirit of God. Yes, by repentance and serving God. Okay? Now, some of these things, because of this, we have to use the spiritual tools of God. Let's come to Mark, the 9th chapter, and let's see what Jesus said. Mark 9. Now, here's where the disciples could not cast a demon out of this young boy. And it was a pitiful case. So the father, verse 17, Mark 9, came up to Jesus when he came down off the mountain to the crowd there. And he said, "Master, I brought my son who has a dumb spirit to you, and wherever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and gnashes his teeth and is withering away." But you can have this, you can have trauma. There are some people who just are so traumatized, they stare off into space. Same kind of thing, see? Okay? You can have trauma that you don't want to talk to anybody else. You can feel so violated inside by what someone has done that you really don't want to be around anyone else the rest of your life. I can get that serious. Here, this poor boy, it came on him ever since he was a child. And he said, "I spoke to your disciples in order that they might cast it out, but they did not have the power." And he answered, him saying, "Oh, faithless generation," he was talking to his disciples. Okay, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." When they brought him to him, then they brought him to him. But when the Spirit saw him, it immediately threw him down into convulsions. And he fell down on the ground and began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. What do you do in cases like that? Now today, a lot of that can happen with drugs. Your kids can go out to have a good time and someone says, "Oh, here, take this. This will make you feel real happy." Can destroy their whole life. Bang, just like that. That can happen with all kinds of drugs. That can happen even with smoking marijuana. Oh, well, you know, the Republican presidential candidate from New Mexico, Johnson, I think his name is, he wants to legalize marijuana. Well, he doesn't even know what he's talking about, because you can have, the unhybrid type of marijuana can be overcome more easily in the system than the hybrid that they have with all the strong seeds that they smoke. And those seeds can get so strong that a person can smoke those seeds the first time and bam, they become psychotic, because it goes directly to the brain, affects the way that they think. Now, there are going to be people like that. How many people smoke marijuana here in California? Remember the smoke-in they had up in San Francisco when they were pushing to legalize marijuana, and guess who was financing that? Anybody know who was financing that? George Soros. But anyway, showed thousands of people out at the park all smoking, and here's this huge cloud of marijuana smoke rising up out of it. So you know, God is going to call some people who have had experiences like that. What are we to do? We're to help them. We're to show them how they can get their lives in right and in order with God. Now, there are also some health things they need to do. We can tell them those things as well. So we're talking about some difficult things just like this here. Verse 21, and he asked his father, "How long a time has this demon been with him?" And he said, "From childhood." That can happen. "For it often throws him both into the fire and into the water, that it might destroy him. But if you have the power to do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes." Now notice the answer. Verse 24, and this is where a lot of us are today. We read these things and say, yes, that's true. We read this over here and we say, yes, that is true. And the father of the little child cried out at once with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Because you can't do these things that are instigated by Satan, nor these traumatic things that affect your life, that many people continue to ruin and destroy their lives with the emotional feelings that they still have within them, because they are not able to overcome it by themselves. And how do you overcome it? Okay, we'll see. Part of the answer is here. So then Jesus cast them out after the multitude came, and so forth. Jesus took them up. Everyone said he was dead, but he was fine. Now, what I want to get to is here, verse 28. When he came into a house, his disciples asked him apart, "Why were we not able to cast it out?" Then he said to them, "This kind cannot be made to go out but out by anything except prayer and fasting." Those are the spiritual tools. See? Now, I've been able through, let's put it this way, let me rephrase that. God has used prayers that I have prayed to cast out demons. That doesn't make me anything. Every minister should be able to do that. But it also takes faith on our part. And it takes the faith that we know that God has given us the authority over every sickness, over every disease, over every bodily weakness, and over the demons. So some of these problems need to be approached from this point of view, right here. And those things need to be taken care of to cast them out. And to relieve the mind from the fear, from the wrong thinking. And sometimes we get so mixed up in this world that our brains actually become miswired, because wrong thinking will form the synapses of the brain in a different way. Same way with music. Music can form your brain in a wrong way. That's why it takes away from morality. Okay, we need to understand that. All right, let's look at some of the things that we need to do with this. Okay? Now, let's come here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Because it has to do with changing the brain through the power of God's Spirit. Ephesians 5, okay? Verse 26, talking about Christ, what he is doing to the church. This is why, brethren, that our relationship with God is so important. That's why John wrote in the first chapter of the Epistle of John that our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's where everything comes from. That's the center of everything. Okay? Now, Christ is with us and in us and for us, with our children, and with those that he's working with to call. But here is the goal that he wants done. How is he going to heal the brokenhearted? How is he going to heal those who have been captive in all that they have gone through? Right here, verse 26. So that he might sanctify it, that is the church, because he gave himself for the church. Verse 25, it says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, so that he might sanctify it. Now, sanctify it means to make it holy, which means taking that which is unholy, convert it, and make it holy by this process. Having cleansed it, we'll talk about cleansing, that comes with repentance. Having cleansed it with the washing of the water by the Word. Now, the water is the Spirit of God. God is the source of ever-living water. God is the source of His Spirit. So this is the washing of the water by the Word. So it takes prayer, repentance, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, and then the action of the washing of the water by the Word. All right. Now let's see how that works. Come back here to Psalm 51. Okay, Psalm 51. Let's go ahead and take a little break here, because it's a little too long for me to cut it short at the halfway point, so we'll take a little break here, and we'll be back.